gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Yay.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Why? Jim, how did you put this here? Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, Volume 1.
Where
you
did that
get it
come from?
Sexyliberal.com, where the fabulous shirt that Chris was wearing came from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me take a sip from my current mug and
pause
briefly.
Oh, for the love of God.
All right. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang joining us live in studio in just a few minutes in the New York Bureau all 3 hours.
I was going to say, it's going to have to run here pretty fast.
Yeah, because he's in the TV right now.
Yes, yeah.
But he's coming onto the Better Network
in
just a few minutes.
Yes. He's slumming. He'll be here at Current in just a few minutes. All right. So 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number to join the party. Dana Gould, comedian extraordinaire, joins
whom
us.
Whom I've worked with.
Yeah.
He probably wouldn't remember.
He's hilarious. Joins us in hour number three.
Yeah.
All right. Looky here, Jim. They passed the, in a rare moment of bipartisanship, they passed the Violence Against Women Act.
Yep, really.
The Republican alternative, which I believe...
The Bitch Had It Coming Act.
Yeah, the Bitch Had It Coming Act did not pass.
Go Get Me Some Coffee, You Whore Amendment.
No, that did not pass. They tried. Grassley and who was it? They tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice pins. Get me a sandwich. That one. That act did not pass. Okay.
Back that gorgeous butt back up in here.
Hey, Jiggles. Grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Oh, that was, audio of Chuck Grassley asking Kay Bailey Hutchinson to get a pad.
Right.
So they could write their version of the...
Uh-huh.
See, that's actually just comedy based on truth, because it's true. Then those two did the Republican alternative, which left lots of people out of the reindeer games, like the gays.
And that actually sounded more like Olympia Snow.
Yeah. No. He co-wrote the bill with the seniors, as Tom DeLay would say, Kay Bailey.
Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senator from Texas.
Shrang.
He's been hanging out with Boner.
Apparently. I miss Drunky McPuke Shoes. Where is he?
All right. Out to the tavern.
Flarg. As Tom DeLay once said, flarg.
Yes.
Okay.
That's one of the Romney kids, isn't it?
Flarg, yes. Fran was probably named by Tom DeLay. Fran in Phoenix writes, Steph, my friend Barbara and I got our tickets to Sexy Liberal Phoenix last June, so when our company announced it was shutting down a few weeks before the show, we went without worry that about what we had paid for the tickets. The good news came this week. We're both okay. I believe it's our proximity to your luminescence and that of your entourage that secured us both new employment without financial damage. If Stephen Colbert calls the success of those who spend time with him the Colbert bump, can we call our good fortune the Sexy Liberal bump and grind? Yes. Yes, I believe you can.
Hell
to the yeah. All right. Oh, in fact, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money reminds us that Mother's Day is coming up.
Oh.
And what better tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show? Premium podcast subscription to the StephCast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Sexy Liberal. Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. Where did that come from? Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
That's upside down.
Oh,
there you go.
Volume 1. There's, baseball caps, I believe, are available on the website. I haven't seen them yet.
Uh-huh.
I have to get one. Souvenir posters of Sexy Liberal will be available soon.
That's right.
It's very exciting. Okay. And, the Mother's Day weekend show in Minneapolis is almost sold out with Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and I. And there is a Mother's Day ticket discount I'll tell you about in a second. Here we go.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fugelsang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler, and mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You're darn tootin'.
Come on in.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sassiness.
Because Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
Boy, howdy do I. Okay, high-strung sexy liberal tour director Roland reminds us Minneapolis, nearing sellout since it's Mother's Day weekend. We have a special Mother's Day offer.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Ticketmaster.com, put in the code SEXYMOM, one word, for 20% off if you buy two or more tickets.
Wow.
Bye. Details on Sexy Liberal Facebook and Twitter, and there's only very few tickets left. Go, eat it. Okay. All right. Wendy in New Hampshire, speaking of happy, clappy liberals like us,
mm-hmm.
I've been talking about the floaters in my right eye. I'm going to the eye doctor on Monday.
Yes.
Chris, Jim, which is that? Which of you is that?
Do you need your cane?
See, they're always looking on the bright side, my listeners.
Yeah.
Wendy writes, Steph, I was listening while you're talking about getting floaters in your eye. You're going to see eye doctor on Monday. You seemed rather worried. As a liberal health worker, I want to point out the upside. When you're blind, you can get a dog, and not just any dog, but a dog you can take anywhere, or you could get one of those miniature horses you talk about all the time. I could get Cuddles. The miniature guide horse with the blue eyes and the sneakers. I love Cuddles so much.
Okay. I don't think I've seen this Cuddles.
Every cloud has a silver lining. Too bad you can't see it.
Yeah.
I'll just
you
take
can't
your word.
See the blue
I'll
eyes.
I'll take your word for it. I won't be able to see Cuddles' blue eyes.
No.
But I'll be able to feel his sneakers. Okay. I am obsessed with Cuddles. But these are, see, this is an old-time listener. Oh, God, that horse is so cute.
It would be wrong to tell Helen Keller jokes at this point.
Yes.
No, no, it would not be. You do that during the commercial breaks. Okay. Under the Americans with Disability Act, you and your animal can't be denied access anywhere.
Cool.
This could work out great. Plus, the vet bills and food would probably be tax deductible. Great. I can suck off the socialist teat as well. Cuddles and I. Try and remember that you are a happy, clappy liberal, so this could work out great. Wendy in New Hampshire.
Oh.
Thanks, Wendy.
Oh, God, don't go blind. Then I have to drive you to work every day. Oh.
Me and Cuddles.
No.
You better get some mats for your car. All right. Dan, with a complaint letter for you, Chris. As a future elderly shut-in, I am hurt that Chris tells me I'm using Siri wrong. When I get home after a long day at work, the first thing I do is download the Steph podcast, only $4.95 a month when you buy your advanced bling. The second thing I do is talk to Siri. This is going to be me. This is my future. Her voice a lot more soothing than hearing these Sarah Palin clips that you play on Right Wing World. Siri is a godsend to those of us in the nation that are taking after Steph and working towards being an elderly shut-in.
All right.
All he has is me and Siri.
You know what? You can tell
Why can't he have nice things?
You can say to Siri, Siri, play the Stephanie Miller podcast.
Siri, buy me the and while you're at it, buy the Stephanie Miller sexy liberal comedy.
You know
buy
why you can't take it, bitch.
Siri, buy me some Steph crap.
I am not buying anything else from that whore.
Why don't you take a long walk off a short pier?
Eileen in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
It's the first time I've called, but I just had to share this information with you. Last week, before the primary, I was involved in a teleconference, town hall type call, which our local representative in the Pittsburgh area here has been having.
Uh-huh.
And his name is Tim Murphy, and he did win the primary. But anyway, he was on the phone with Paul Ryan. And one of the questions that somebody called in and asked was, why did they have to pay, they wanted an explanation as to why did they have to pay 15%, or why did they have to pay 30% for their income tax, where Governor Romney only paid 15%.
Oops, 14, who's counting? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, but his explanation will floor you. Paul Ryan's explanation was that actually Governor Romney pays 50%.
Oh, I see. Well, that would be completely incorrect.
Yeah. The reason being is because he pays 35% on the money he earns, and then he pays an additional 15% on the capital gains. So it's actually a 50% tax he pays.
No.
But
no.
You need to earn money in order to pay.
Oranges.
But the problem is, too, I mean, these people believe this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, this guy's on our budgetary committee. Where does he learn finance?
That's what they, Eileen, that's what they're reduced to is they just flat out lie. They just go, well, the CBO is wrong. Those numbers are just wrong.
Know?
Yeah.
I was astounded by that explanation.
Well, thank you for calling Bolt on that on national television. I appreciate it. And radio. Thank you, Eileen. We call Bolt on you,
that's
Paul
right.
Ryan. Yeah, it's like, how stupid does he think people are? Oh, okay, so he's actually paying 99%
sure.
of his income. Okay.
Of course he is.
I feel better. All right.
And then he gets 110% refund. So
Siri.
See how that works?
Call Bolt on Paul Ryan. Call him now.
You are full of crap.
All right. You know what? I feel bad for Siri. I think of her as a person. Like, my girlfriend Lisa actually gets in fights deliberately with her, and I'm like, don't say that to her. Is that weird?
What?
Am I too much of a bleeding heart liberal?
How can you get into a fight with Siri?
It's because people do it for fun. They think it's funny to, like, call her names and stuff. So she goes, watch this. And I'm like, oh, don't say that to her. She's going to remember that.
That is so weird.
Yeah. Well.
Without your space helmet, you are going to find that rather difficult, Lisa.
Exactly. I'm just trying to protect her. All right.
She's going to be stuck outside the airlock
yeah.
without her space helmet.
17 minutes after the hour. All right, right back with John Fugelsang, Fridays with Fugelsang, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. The politics of dancing are in this message on the stage.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome
to it. I think David Bowie
it.
Should have sued that guy.
Why?
His act.
That's a fun song.
I love it.
Fair enough. Uh-oh, who's that?
Who is that disembodied voice of God? Why?
It's Fugelsang.
Thank God it's not.
John Fugelsang.
Good morning, Steph and Mooks and Steph heads and all of you lovely, attractive current viewers.
Tell Soledad to get my man meat here on time next time.
I know.
I don't have to be so handsy.
Couldn't tear myself away from that den of vultures, my
she's,
goodness.
She's like an octopus, I'm told. That
I'm glad you brought it up. Glad you brought it up. Yeah, it's a pleasure. But it's great to be back here in the Boo Radley studio after actually being allowed into the sunlight to work with you last Friday.
Yeah.
Right? Right? See, we used to be able to get away with this before TV. You could be the voice of, the disembodied ecclesiastical mook.
People
God,
always thought we were in the same room, like the Gingrich marriage. They always
thought. Just see what you did there. All right. You're here just in time to hear that Minneapolis almost sold out with you and Aisha Tyler and I. Tickets going fast for May 12th. Get it. And we talked about the Violence Against Women Act. They finally, John, finally a moment of bipartisanship. As Jim said yesterday, the Republican version...
This is the bitch had it coming act.
That did not pass.
Yes. Yes.
No.
And Pete says no.
Go make me some coffee, you whore amendment.
No. They tried. Janet in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Janet.
Yes, I wanted to talk some more about the Violence Against Women Act. And in the spirit of your earlier caller who called bullshit on...
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Hey, no.
Okay, people...
The
God.
Violence Against the FCC Act.
They don't get the concept.
Okay, let's send her a copy of my album and George Carlin's, in which he...
See, that's what cable has done to people. They don't realize that they're...
Violence Against our Virgin Ears Act.
See, just because we're on the cable TV, we're still on the radio with the old-fashioned, the old horse-drawn FCC.
Mm. Okay. Oh, my God, people.
All right, people, come on, let's
in
get it together.
Quaint Amish ways.
What do you mean I can't say...
All right.
Wow.
Maria is a step head in Chicago, so I can trust her. Hello, Maria.
Oh, my heavenly stars, what just happened to my ears?
Oh, my stars and garters, clutch the pearls.
Oh, my, I'm fanning myself.
All right, go ahead.
I do agree that, Jim, I'm with you on the Bitch Go Get Me Some Coffee Act.
Yes.
Is that what you're calling it?
Yes.
Had it been termed that, I believe the Republicans would have just sent it right through.
Right.
Yes,
the Fry Me Up a Steak Cupcake Act.
They're like, that was the name we put on it behind closed doors. Yeah. Maybe for public consumption.
Hey, Puts, shouldn't you be cleaning? Yeah.
Nice gams. Yeah. The Get Off the Rag Feminist Act of
1990. Oh, John Louise.
See, there's that line, and then John just goes one step past
this. I'm sorry that I'm making fun of sexists too acutely.
So, Mama, as you know, I am the designated not-so-subtle stalker of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Don't I know it.
I also wanted to say that in keeping with that, I'm hoping to go up to Madison to see John do Guilt, a Love Story.
Yay!
Oh, please
Hang
do.
On. Okay, go ahead.
And I'm also planning on perhaps another trip to maybe come and see you and Aisha. I don't know. Maybe is that coming up in the near future?
Oh, May 12th. Thank you. In Minneapolis. Why, what a plug-a-thon this has been.
It's the day after my show in Madison. So you'll have to be making a road trip. Get a caravan, get some deadheads, get your tie-dyes out, and come join us.
There you go. All right.
Biggity. I'm bringing a bikini. Screw it. Screw it. Tie-dye.
All right. Nice. We'll see you there, Marya. Thank you.
I love you guys.
I love you, too. Thank you for calling. Yeah, I've been paging furiously through my from our stock of show prep. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't. Where's the Snurdly? Where's? I was trying to find the. That actually, John, it was the Republican amendment. It literally was Chuck Grassley and Kay Bailey Hutchinson. It was literally the version that leaves out gay people, Native American women. I mean, mm-hmm. it's incredible.
Shocking.
Yeah,
shocking.
It's incredible. It
Although
really
I
is.
Would like to point out, I got to interview Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson this week on that other thing, and I did get her to admit that the net zero numbers of illegal immigration into the country right now is due, at least in part, to the policies of this president.
No! So John Bugle saying, have you
I
not done enough
him,
damage with
I
your etch-a-sketch
her to
journalism?
Give him credit, and she can expect her Tea Party rival any moment now.
This is all they got, John. We were talking about the Karl Rove Super PAC ad attacks
yeah.
Obama for being too cool. And let me just say, I watched a little of it, and it makes him look even cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. He's awesome.
He's
yeah.
makes
you
know,
Rove look like even a president
more of a pudgy
can, little nerd.
Yeah, a president can run
yeah.
the world and be cool at the same time, Karl Rove.
Yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive things.
Jim is correct. That's the name of the Super PAC, pudgylittlenerd.com, if you'd yeah. like to give to Karl Rove's.
But see, these are people who think Paul Ryan is cool. So you have to understand the scale we're working with.
Yeah. It's the conservative super PAC American Crossroads. They released a new ad aimed to make President Obama's coolness. You see how they do that? It's the thing they take
coolness.
Your strength and use it against you.
Mm.
See what they're doing there?
Oh, yeah. So how do you do
so
that with
smart,
Romney?
Popular.
Yeah. I mean, it literally is hilarious. You're like, is that really it? That's all you got? Look how cool the president is. Damn it! And that's so they're making it, let's see, asking young voters how America's biggest celebrity has helped recent college graduates find
they
jobs.
They tried this in 2008.
I know. Yeah. They did. This is exactly
uh-huh.
it. It echoes
and
the one.
They, and look what How'd they did with Sarah Palin. Look yeah. what they did. The most powerful person in their party, the one person in their party that every candidate wanted an endorsement from, is the person who quit being a politician to be a celebrity.
Yeah, exactly. But you remember this ad that had he compared him to Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. It's
mm-hmm.
called him
mm-hmm.
the biggest celebrity in the world. And Jim, you're absolutely right. How'd that work out for you? You lost in a landslide.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, I know, let's try this again. It's like the RNC admitting how are Romney's policies different economically than Bush? Not really. No.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the same thing. Why? Is that bad? Yes!
That's
yes! Yes! It's how we got here. All right, so we'll tell you more about this new ad. It's hilarious. As we continue Fridays with sexy liberal John Bugle.
Oh, he's here.
Oh,
yay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's so sweet. And doesn't she have the most beautiful eyes?
Well, the spacing seems a tad off, but yeah, individually they're not awful.
Even the one with the floaters.
Yeah.
All right, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Kristen in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kristen, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your show is so much fun.
Awesome.
Right?
Thank you.
Right? We're all drunk. I'll go ahead.
Well, it's Friday.
Yay.
Not as drunk as the Bill
happen.
Press Show, people.
These things happen on Friday.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I wonder how on earth it's a detriment for us to have a cool president. And I was watching another show this morning where they...
You okay?
Hello?
Uh-oh. Clear. Everybody clear.
Wow.
Clamps.
Okay.
All right, we lost her.
We'd like to thank AT&T for that.
We lost one. We lost one. Okay.
But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It is good to have a cool president. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
This is hilarious.
That's not a negative.
You
know what?
You
I'd rather have an uncool president who bankrupts the Treasury and invades the wrong country and lets Bin Laden escape.
Oh,
can't we go back to those
happen.
Days?
No, I mean, this is what we were talking about, the sputtering in right-wing world.
Yeah.
It's because he was so funny, John, what you call it?
Fallon.
On Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, and you could tell they were like, he's much cooler and funnier than Mitt Romney. Well, he's such a dork.
The fact is, and it's one of the things I like about this president, he always manages to be the most relaxed person in the room.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons why people do feel close to him. He may seem like a Vulcan at times, but everyone who meets him says that they do feel his focus completely when they actually meet him. And again, it's why it's so easy for him to be funny. It's why it's so easy for him to be powerful and go to serious to funny on a dime. But, that's the thing about this guy, is that he is a lot more likable. And when you actually get some time with him, right, instead of just having the nonstop Fox propaganda.
You can't manufacture that, Mittens.
And that's why Mitt's making a mistake. You know, Ann Romney's now saying she wants Mitt to go on Saturday Night Live. That's a mistake. Mitt is making the same. Listen, if you want to see Obama win, let Mitt keep trying to be cool. He's making the Al Gore mistake. He needs to stand up and say, I'm white, I'm lame, vote for me.
By the way, they were saying, like, oh, this is so unpresidential, this has never happened before.
Like,
and then,
Reagan?
Of course, they played the clips of every president from Nixon to Reagan. I mean,
Dana Perino went on
George
and said,
W. Bush, do you remember how awkward that first Letterman was when he was he made some joke about his heart surgery when he was campaigning for president.
Why are you a uniter, not a divider? And he said it meant like the sutures they make when they sew your chest back up. It was a horrible joke, and that was cleared by Karl Rove.
Yeah, no, exactly. But anyway, and then he went on when he was president and did the top 10 list, and so it's ridiculous to go, this is unpresidential, and no one's ever done this. Yeah.
Shock it to me.
I was looking, now I'm starting to, I can tell just like pictures that make the right wing's head explode, like. Did you see what football team is it? Army, Navy, whatever the football team, they gave the president football and asked him to do the Heisman Trophy pose, and he did. And you just see them all, like, cracking up laughing, and I'm like, he's just cool, you can't.
Yeah.
He's funny and cool, and you can't buy that.
I don't think Bush would know what the Heisman Trophy pose is.
No.
Well, and here's the thing that Obama's advantage. It is the fact that real coolness comes from being an outsider early in life. And if you're always a member of the tribe, if you're always the backslapping popular kid, you're never going to be cool. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Obama's got a social mobility because he was born biracial in this society. He lived in foreign cultures, and he's learned how to relate to people who are different from him. Mm-hmm. George Bush never did.
Yeah, exactly. So we were talking about this ad is exactly like the one McCain tried to run about, he's the celebrity. Oh, he's popular. It features footage of President Obama dancing with Ellen DeGeneres, slow jamming the news with Jimmy Fallon, and singing an Al Green song, all basically his greatest hits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, thank you. Oh, is that your pack? You're paying
really?
For it.
You
okay.
paid for that? Okay.
Okay.
Oh, and 24 straight months of private sector job growth.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah, this is the VO. 4 years ago, America elected the biggest celebrity in the world, and America got one cool president. Thanks, Carl. The text of the ad reads alongside of a clip of Obama drinking beer.
Yeah, but it's Amstel Light, so you know he's half white.
But then it continues. After 4 years of a celebrity president, is your life any better? Well, yes, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Actually.
Things are looking up.
Yes,
we're not losing 750,000 jobs a month, for one.
Consumer confidence is up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We should just take the same ad and just end it with,
thank you.
And thank you, Karl Rove, for pointing it out.
And did this? Is it cool to create more jobs in 3 years than the previous guy did in 8?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is. I love these headlines. It's just Obama's slow jam on Jimmy Fallon mocked in RNC's first pro Romney ad. I mean, can I just say, Chris, just from what you played to me, part of that, I'm telling you, it's like racist code.
It is. It's a dog whistle.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is, because obviously Jimmy Fallon is doing it as a joke.
Yep.
But it also, that's all you can. Like,
I don't know.
Well, play some of it. Play some of it. You'll see what I mean. Yeah. Exactly.
And
that's
he's
the dog
lazy.
It's the ad. Let's see. It's entitled "A Tale of Two Leaders." Intermingles clip. You know what? The more they can compare and contrast Romney and Obama, I say bully. It intermingles clips of Obama's appearance on Jimmy Fallon, in which Fallon calls him the Preezy of the United Steezy, and the president stands in the background with cuts from Romney's kickoff speech from that day, as if, oh, here's a serious presidential guy, and here's, okay, so yeah, listen. Here we go.
The Preezy of the United Steezy. So in love.
Nice.
He's a jackass.
it's ominous.
Yes. Ominous. Oh, is this the ominous music?
Yeah.
Oh no! Look how black
sounds
he is.
Sounds like marching.
In case we were too subtle.
Black people.
In case we were too subtle. He's black.
Black Panthers.
I don't like popular people, and my fellow Rush listeners agree.
That's all it is, man.
Yeah.
It's not people that are necessarily racist. It's people that have never felt inferior to a black man before, and they're flipping out.
Carl in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carl, welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Well,
good.
First of all, people, when they ask the question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
Right.
The dummies, they tend to forget that 4 years ago, who was the president?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they're counting
right.
on you forgetting
right.
that.
We were losing 700,000 jobs a month. We were in an unnecessary war. How do we go down the list, right?
Yeah, and two, this commercial was the same commercial that's what I got from it, and it made me remember. Do you remember what happened after the celebrity commercial? What was the more funnier part? That was the Paris Hilton commercial that she made.
Right. That when that Paris Hilton's commercial is funnier, you know you're in trouble. Yeah, she did a parody
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, you wasted money recycling a John McCain commercial that didn't work.
And Carl, they're trying to recycle the Bush policies that didn't work last time. I mean, that's exactly it.
These are the same. I mean, with those mistakes along with Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union, you have these neocons that's on your payroll now, Romney.
Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing that these people are trying to run the same campaign that
You're
they
exactly
lost.
Right.
The last time.
Well, it's like Joe Biden said yesterday, Carl. The American people don't have amnesia. It wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
No,
but you know
I
what?
Mean,
you also, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to mock the president's celebrity and still defend Sarah Palin. You don't get to do those two things.
Yeah.
It's like worshiping Jesus and Ayn Rand at the same time. You don't get that.
Nope.
Yeah, by the way, and they are going back to, they're recycling further. He was right to the 80s with foreign policy. Romney's foreign policy advisor attacks Obama's policy on Czechoslovakia, which hasn't existed for 20 years.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, God.
I'm telling you, they're literally, John, we're going back to like when Dolph Lundgren was the biggest threat to America. What are we, 1984? There was
it's
a conference
fantastic.
Call. Romney advisor Pierre Prosper. Seriously? That's his name.
That's his name.
Pierre Prosper.
Live long.
Attacked President Obama for dealing with Russia, albeit using geographical terms from the Cold War era.
Dealing with Russia, not like Reagan.
Yeah.
He said, you know, Russia is another example where we give and Russia gets and we get nothing in return. The U.S. abandoned its missile defense sites in Poland and Czechoslovakia, yet Russia does nothing but obstruct us, our war efforts in Iran and Syria. Who would like the historical fun facts? Aside from the fact that Czechoslovakia broke up into the Czech Republic and Slovakia nearly 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Just Google it. The Obama administration never abandoned missile defense sites because they were never there to begin with. Back in 2009, Obama decided to replace plans for a missile defense system in Eastern Europe, as one expert noted at the time, replace it with a more technologically promising one. As for getting nothing from Russia, the Obama administration spearheaded an effort to apply tougher sanctions on Iran in 2010. In June of that year, Russia voted for the UN Security Council resolution, which imposed a fourth round of tough sanctions on Iran, which, according to experts, appear to be working.
You just can't trust the Soviet Union.
The Ruskies!
So, nuclear combat toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
Them, the Reds, they're posing as Colombian prostitutes.
Well, but this
Swear
is also
God.
Because...
Chuck Grassley said that.
Yeah.
Romney's now staked out the position that he is going to demonize Russia in this campaign. He's really going to try to make Russia our enemies again to lock up that O'Reilly demographic is trying to reach.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Oh, I found the story finally, speaking of Chuck Grassley. So GOP tries to water down Violence Against Women Act.
Yeah.
Expresses willingness to tolerate some domestic abuse.
Oh, okay. Chuck, only they had it coming.
Yeah, Chuck Grassley led the opposition to reauthorizing the Violence Against... I mean, seriously? The Violence Against Women Act. You think that might be a little politically...
What kind of a world is this where you can't slap your bitch up? I just don't understand the world anymore.
Oh, God.
Did he have that song playing behind him, Smack My Bitch Up?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Even leading Senate Judiciary Republicans to unanimously vote against it because they object to its protections for LGBT victims, immigrants, and Native Americans. Yeah, you don't want to include those people.
No.
He's now teamed up with Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson to offer...
Hey, Kaylee Bitchison?
The senior senator. Senior.
Katie Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
Yes. I'd like to see her gift certificate. Okay.
And how
you
dare
ask
he?
The president to show me his gift certificate? I mean, it's a gift certificate. Ah. Birth certificate?
But it was all Kay Bailey Hutchinson who wanted to just divert 30% of the stop grants for domestic violence programs to fight sexual assault, and that's the reason Marco Rubio gave for voting against the Violence Against Women Act.
Yeah, yeah. They say they were teaming up to, quote, offer a substitute that would address GOP concerns with the bill. And the concerns were that people like gay people, immigrants, and Native Americans might somehow be covered as well. And that would be... yeah. So, this is literally the White House. Valerie Jarrett said, we believe it takes us backwards. It discourages local police departments from arresting domestic violence offenders. It deletes the new provisions for assisting same-sex victims.
Check.
Which we believe are important, and it greatly weakens the new proposals to address the high rates of violence on college campuses, which is so important to our young people. And the Hutchinson bill just generally leaves too many victims without protection. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, Chuck.
This is the point.
It protects us from the Ruskies, though.
Communist subversion, that's what we should be worried about.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You like it?
It's brilliant.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, this is annoying.
I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
It's Smack My Bitch Up.
That's right.
The Republican alternative to the Violence Against Women Act.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
51. If this CD skips, how do you know?
You don't. You just don't.
You don't. You just trust it.
That is soothing in the morning. Yeah. I can hear my mom from here in North Carolina going, oh, dear.
You've gotten so radical.
Oh, dear, Steph, you've gotten so radical.
Prodigy wrote this, man.
Woo! 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Here's what I love about sexy liberal men. They're man enough to cry. Senator Al Franken, did you see this on the Senate floor? Because normally, I used to think that men should only cry when something heavy falls on them. But here's the difference. Sexy liberal men, John, cry about when actual bad things happening to actual people and stuff. He got emotional discussing women who face homelessness after being abused. Take a listen yesterday, Senator Franken.
Nearly one in three homeless women is fleeing domestic violence. And half of those women have children with them. That's not the world that Sheila Wellstone envisioned. Nobody should have to choose between safety and shelter. While the link between violence and homelessness is undeniable, it is not unbreakable. We need shelters and transitional housing programs for women who are fleeing danger. And the VAWA reauthorization bill provides continued support for those programs.
He often gets choked up talking about Paul Wellstone because he, inspired him so much.
Yeah.
That was, anyway, good for him.
Well, let's just see if Violence Against Women Act gets through the House now. Because it still needs to go through the House before it goes to the president's desk.
Yeah, they're always so helpful.
Yeah.
Larry in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Larry. Welcome.
Hello, yes. You were talking a moment ago about how President Obama's funny.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that makes people comfortable with this is he has some awareness of what's going on around him, so he's not inappropriately funny or giggling at the wrong time. Mm-hmm.
You mean George Bush going to Walter Reed and joking about getting a...
Hey, look, I'm wounded too.
Exactly.
This would be a good time to feel up Andrea Merkel in front of cameras.
Yeah.
Thing at the Correspondents' Dinner where he's making fun of not finding WMDs while people are dying.
Yeah. No, that's the dignity that Karl Rove is talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this hilarious.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was hilarious to the people that died searching for his fictional weapons of mass destruction. Hilarious. Yeah. All right, speaking of right wing and humor.
Computer says no.
Not so much. Did you see the Monica Crowley tweet?
Sandra Bullock is not only a whore, but a lesbian.
Yes.
Which is why she needs so much.
Here's what the premise I hate of this is that only where the right wing uses that as a, that's an insult.
Right, right.
First of all, she's not gay, but obviously the joke is, isn't that funny that she, you know?
Yeah.
So the Daily Beast reported that Sandra Fluke is, got engaged.
Yeah, and congratulations.
So, right. Mm-hmm. Monica Crowley tweeted, to a man.
She's got to be a big dyke because she's talking about women.
Okay, so...
And then she says, oh, it's a joke.
Yeah, she added it was a joke.
No, you guys just don't get humor.
Right, that's what she tweeted. I love exposing the left's total lack of a sense of humor.
Oh,
isn't that funny?
That's not what she exposed.
Yeah. In response to the issue, there was a tweet, the tweet that read, did you hear the one where Monica Crowley insinuated Sandra Fluke was gay, knee-slapping hilarity? And she wrote back, insinuating nothing, straightforward question, no answer yet. So she wasn't making
right.
a joke.
So was it a joke or was it a straightforward question? Which is it, Monica?
That's what they always go to when they get caught.
Exactly.
And then they just go, oh, lighten up, it was a joke. And it obviously wasn't a joke.
Why, you're answering my serious question.
It was a joke.
Yeah. You know what, Monica? A simple congratulations on your engagement would have sufficed.
Yeah.
Yes, but that wouldn't have been Monica Crowley. God gave us Monica Crowley to make Megyn Kelly have all that credibility.
Rita in Maryland, you're on
to make Rita Cosby have all that credibility.
Oh.
No, we love Rita Cosby.
Okay,
Rita,
we love Rita Cosby.
Rita in Maryland. Hello, Rita.
Hello. You were talking a little while ago about people, the country not having so much of an issue with race as not being used to feeling inferior to a black man. And I just wanted to preface it by saying I'm in my early 50s. I've served in the military, so I've seen the country go through a lot of changes. And when I say things, I say them not as a radical or zealot. I love the country, and I want to see us become what we can become.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fix something if you do not admit it's broke.
Yep.
Right.
We have a problem with race in this country. Not so much the young kids. I think it's more to my generation, the last part of Jim Crow and up.
Yep.
We have got to work collectively to fix it.
Right. Well, you know, Reed, I don't know about you, but I get offended, you know, when men tell me that there's no war against women or women are getting equal pay when they're not.
Right.
And, and I'm sure black people get offended by white people telling them there's no more racism in the country.
Not so much offended. We have to learn to work together. You know, I guess I was just raised very differently near the last end of it because my husband and I, we are in the age group that actually saw that last part of Jim Crow.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. Let's go to Dave in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, kids.
Hello.
You know the question about the amnesia with the American people?
Yes.
Let me give you, and I think there could be because there's so much to remember. Let me give you a quick summary. Record job loss, the worst since the Depression.
Uh-huh.
Record home foreclosures, the worst since the Great Depression. Declining wages. The American workers lost like 10% of their money over the eight-year period. This president was burdened and quagmired with two unpaid-for trillion-dollar wars.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a big one. If we remember at the end of the 8 years, the leader of the Republican Party, the president of the United States, and his secretary-treasurer went to the nation and said, we're on the verge of financial bankruptcy, of destruction, and we need $800 billion to straighten it out and do it quick. I mean, a lot to remember.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, again, unprecedented is the word he used, and that's, you know, it is provable, I think.
Yep. Lehman Brothers sent out Bush with a cup in his hand.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Dana Gould coming up on The Big Show and much more, and we continue Fridays with John Fugelsang.
Hooray!
On The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeehaw, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. Speaking of which, Ed in Ohio got tickets for Columbus.
Ah!
Oh, my God. Okay, Ed.
Yes, I do.
I am.
And we're going to be sitting stage right with in the lower section of the theater.
Oh, let me write that
not
down.
Quite,
okay.
Not quite up front,
now you did
unfortunately.
It.
Okay. Awesome. August 18th.
Yes. First of all, I want to thank you for helping me convert my wife from a Republican to at least a moderate.
Join us. Come farther into the light. Yes.
Yes, the first Democrat she ever voted for president was Obama.
Wow.
And what was really surprising to me was the day after McCain said he was choosing Sarah Palin, she just said he screwed himself over, didn't he?
Yep, exactly.
And that was, yes, but I
look
also,
at you chuckling warmly with the memory of Karen Barbara.
I am, because it was great. I'm also looking at our local paper here and report rebates from health care law will top $1 billion.
You know what, Dave? I saw that headline yesterday. I also saw gas prices coming down. And I also saw housing market rebounding all in yesterday's paper, and I thought, oh boy, right wing heads are just.
And I bet they won't give him any credit for the gas prices coming down.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they have this ad out going, look at how
cool he
is.
It's the George Bush price reduction.
Illegal immigration is down. Finally, something else they won't blame on Obama.
Yeah, exactly. All right. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Oh, looky here. This one from, who is this? Oh, Brenda in South Carolina. Steph, it's been great to be able to attend two Sexy Liberal shows. A Steph head, John Fugelsang. In Asheville, North Carolina, I was lucky enough to have you use my phone to put down your pants to tweet a picture of your hoo-ha.
Oh, dear,
you never watched it.
No. Fun fact, while you were there, you somehow managed to turn the iPod on, and I couldn't get it turned off. Thankfully, my nephew did.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you need a youngster to fix however I break your phone, because I'm sorry. So now on to how that led to helping me ease into sexting and phone sex. Hello. I'm a helper. I started having a little flirting. Yeah, I knew Jim would like this story. I started having a little flirting, vaguely sexual messages back and forth with an old boyfriend.
Wow.
This led to texting where he eventually got me to send him dirty texts. Then he called, and being a good, shy little Catholic girl, I couldn't bring myself to say things that I'd been typing.
Nah.
So how did I start? I said, so you know this phone I'm talking to you on now? It's been down the pants of another girl. That definitely got
That'll
his attention, and you can imagine how it ended. Anyway, thanks for the help. Oh, my pleasure, Brenda. Brenda.
We keep trying to warn you, sexy liberal audiences, if you're coming in, get that old tarp from the Gallagher show in the 80s, because Steph will get DNA all over.
You'll get Steph juice on it.
I am imagining how it ended, and sadly for us, it's Pantless Friday.
Yes, it is Pants-Free Friday.
So, yes, in the current news Plexo Center. So,
Jim Ward would like Jackie Shetner to stand up and
prove it.
Be a woman and stand up and prove it. How has this happened, this downward spiral of...
Oh, yes, we don't have casual
Fridays.
Turning
out on Jackie Shetner, who is the newswoman, damn it.
Yes.
She's the Walter Cronkite of current TV.
Yeah.
Dragging her down to our levels.
Why can't you give her the respect in which she's entitled, for God's sakes?
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
Because you're overacting.
Because I can't see or hear you, Jackie. Okay. all right. Speaking of sexy liberal strange, where's my dating game music? I have a John, you can tell it's Friday.
Yes.
I have a proposition from a woman and a man.
Really?
Let's start with Nancy, an audiologist.
Jim doesn't count.
What?
That would be a good choice for me because I'm, as you know, going deaf.
Deaf.
Too many years of radio
deaf
headphones.
Deaf and blind. Wow.
Yes, yes. I do have beeping in my ears.
Like a ringing?
Yeah, like a
tinnitus?
Like a truck backing up. Yeah, I take
like a Van Gogh genius thing.
You're this close to answering the iron.
Yes,
really, you are.
Oh, ow!
It's a joke from 1934.
I do. I take ginkgo biloba for the ringing in my ears.
That's supposed to be for your memory.
I understand. There's eye vitamins for floaters. What?
Ginkgo biloba is supposed to be for your memory.
I know.
For your memory.
Can't remember to take it.
Exactly. Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
She writes, Steph, I love your quick mind. I'm an independent thinker, but your democratic ways are starting to rub off on me.
Ooh.
Oh.
Kind of like
it,
well,
you know.
Yeah, kind of like a cell phone from the audience. You know, that...
She'd like it. Literally, she'd like rub off on me.
Uh-huh.
I saw a great bumper sticker today. I already don't like the next war. Oh, that's a good one.
Nice.
Despite our differences, I respect your convictions, and I'd like to date you, LOL.
Wow.
I guess you have a long line of admirers.
Computer says none.
No, not really. Really?
Not true.
And Tom writes, Steph, I heard your love letters from degenerate listeners and thought I'd take a shot. I love you so much. I live up the road in Milwaukee. I just bought a sidecar for my Honda motorcycle. When I get used to driving it, I will ditch my wife and come down and give you a little ride. Ooh, what a ride it'll be.
Mm.
My thanks, Tom.
Does he think you broadcast out of Chicago?
I love wife ditchers. That's so romantic.
Does he think you broadcast out of Chicago?
No.
Because he said, come down and get you.
Oh, I see. Because I'm on WCPT
right.
in Chicago.
That's probably where he listens to
so
you.
So you got to be there in Chicago since I heard you on the radio there. It's where you're
people just assume I'm physically
at.
Wherever they hear my voice.
Yeah, I know.
It's she's cute. In my radio. Get her out of there.
I live in your radio. And now
you're
television.
Now she lives in my TV, too.
That's right.
Wow.
Liberal girl in my TV box.
Oh, my God. You are Gallagher. There's two of you.
How can you be in my radio and my TV at the same time?
She's a tiny liberal woman in my TV.
I'm a liberal who in Whoville. Okay. Justin in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how you doing? I wanted to make a comment about something I saw in the no-spin zone yesterday.
Oh.
Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, God. Okay.
Carl Rove said to Bill O'Reilly that what Obama's not telling you is that the extra interest that he wants to charge on these rates is going to go towards Obamacare.
Huh?
On student loans?
We said in stereo, huh? The extra rates he's going to charge on what?
The extra rates that he's going to charge on the student loans are going to go there.
He's not
going
to...
No, he's actually having the rate of the loans.
Right.
He's going to let the rate not double when it... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Carwell's confused with the fact that he wants...
I'm dizzy from the no-spin zone.
Yeah. Carwell's confused with the fact that he and his party want to deny young people up to the age of 26 coverage under their parents' plans, which the president gave them,
mm-hmm.
thereby hurting small businesses that are now hiring young people to work so they won't have to pay their insurance.
Yep. Corey in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corey. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I love your show.
Thank you.
You're so funny.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I keep hearing this argument and it's making me crazy. And that is all these right-wing people saying that we should not vote for Obama because he didn't give us the progressive wonderland that we were all hoping for.
He did not give us the progressive unicorn that farts glitter. Yeah.
Yes. He did not completely erase the conservative wreckage, so please bring back more conservative wreckage.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Some of us
exactly.
did not get our leprechaun that farts gold dust. And we...
My bumper sticker for this is Obama. He's no FDR. Vote Romney. Question mark?
Huh?
So.
Yeah, that's great. All right, Corey, thank you. Let's go to Carol in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Congratulations on your show.
Oh, thank you.
I've been listening to you on the radio for a long time. What I'm getting robocalls now over this. You mentioned the thing about Russia. Well, before Obama was not getting us creating his jobs, which you all know that's Jivo. He made a lot of jobs for us.
Yes.
And Michigan's hard hit. And I'm in Republicanville. And now I'm getting robocalls about Russia saying he's going to make a deal to have all our armaments built in Russia.
Uh-huh.
Sure. So when Bush looks stupid to Putin's eyes.
Things made here. Or
yes.
in China.
Right.
Well, now we're going to hit he's just taking deflecting his stuff in that he sent to China.
Hmm. Yes, well, that's
and
a
now saying Russia's the deal.
Russia's the big
now.
Evil guy.
That's a flaming pant load, Carl. Okay.
And keep in mind, when George Bush said he looked deep into Putin's eyes and saw his soul, the GOP went all Brokeback Mountain on him.
Yes.
And now he's a very bad man again. Until Mitt holds hands with him in public, and then he's our ally.
But you know what? I bet Mitt Romney sounds exactly the same in person as he does on a robocall. Don't you?
Russians are people too, my friends.
The Robo Romney. Becky in Ohio. Hi, Becky. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I'd just like to ask you why Bill Riley was not penalized for having phone sex here a few years, and poor little Wiener, he got kicked out. The Democrats don't like those kind of people.
Becky, you're a scamp.
I love you, Becky. Will you be my grandma?
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, you need to talk to Bill Riley about that because he's still doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Can we ask how old you are, dear? Can we ask your age?
Oh, I'm 83.
Okay, so you're still too young to be part of Bill O'Reilly's audience.
You are. Seriously,
you're too young for the O'Reilly Factor
anyway,
audience.
He's in the bed with Kasich up here, you know, and he worked for Lehman Brothers, and they're all in bed together, you know. They're taking us down here. Bill O'Reilly is nothing but a bell clapper on a goose's butt. But anyway, I'll tell you, he needs to be put off of the air because he is absolutely a Rush Limbaugh makeover. And
Becky, you want to come to North Carolina and do some shots with my mom and I?
Honey, we need you here in Ross County.
All right.
We need your voice here.
Oh, well, I'm there.
We need Ed Schultz here. We need O'Donnell here. We need all of you people.
Thank you, Becky.
Current here.
Thank you, Becky.
We can't hear you here. We need you here.
Well, that's why we have Current TV, so
that's
here
right.
I am.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't have digital. All these tea parties, all they're listening mm-hmm. to is Rush Limbaugh
right.
and Glenn Beck.
Well, I'm holding you personally responsible for getting Current in every household in Ohio.
And
get to work.
And Mullet's down here in Yokotungi Park, and he's the White Pride, and he's getting all the Ku Klux Klan people together.
Oh, dear.
All
right. Becky, I'm with you. I'm with you, sister.
It's great that they found each other.
I want her to be my grandmother.
How cute is she?
I know.
She's like Tweety Bird. She's like Tweety Bird's liberal grandmother.
Yeah. It is worth pointing out that what she's talking about with Bill O'Reilly's phone sex was the affair he had with the Fox staff employee where there had to be a $5 million payout.
Yes.
And Anthony Weiner, of course, was an elected official and is held to a higher standard than Bill O'Reilly.
Becky's a little imp. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, right back. Fridays with Bugle Sang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. We were doing what we normally do in the commercial break, and that is making fun of the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money. Donnie frequently sends us. Did you get the bulletin when Dick Clark died?
Yes, it did.
He thinks that we have no access to news services of any kind.
Yeah, it was like 12 hours after the news had come out.
Yes.
Yeah, like, oh, thank you.
Did you see this? Yes, we did.
Yes, thank you.
All right. I know you've heard, but
the good news, we have men on the moon.
We have Jackie Schechner, for God's sakes, who, by the way, has pointed out that she is wearing a dress, so it is technically Pants Free Friday.
Yep, in the current News Plexo Center.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, Paul in Indianapolis.
You'll never tell me when it's No Pants Friday. I'm wearing culottes, as I always do.
John, it's for you. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hi, Paul in Indianapolis.
Well, hi, Stephanie Miller. First of all, I'm totally blind here, so I can't really see how wonderful you're looking through Ustream, but I am trying to get as much sensory through the braille, trying to braille the screen through Current TV and the radio here.
Awesome.
Get as much of your light.
Paul, please, feel me up. If you... All right, go ahead.
I love your light there.
Thank you.
Question for the Ecclesiastical Mook this morning.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you're... Good morning. I don't know if you're familiar. There was a lawsuit filed in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was the Diocese of Fort Wayne and South Bend. The school was St. Vincent de Paul. I'm not sure if it was a grade school or high school, but the teacher is suing because I guess originally one of the nuns or one of the other supervisors knew that they were trying to have some other children and kept asking about, are you going to have your second child, third child? And they, she seemed to indicate that one of the supervisors knew that they were doing in vitro fertilization. Then, later on here, as we find out yesterday, she was a guest on the Today Show. She was fired because of the teaching of the Catholic Church, obviously, about in vitro fertilization. And I guess my question is, if you can't beat it out unless you're popping them out, as you've talked
about.
That's what I
was saying. Yeah.
Now she's fired. What's the, do you want the children or not? And she even said that the embryos were not destroyed. They were
exactly. All right, thank you, Paul. Ecclesiastical Mook, as someone who has just popped one out, what do you say?
It's a great question. And once again, it's another example of the Catholic Church having their own rules that have nothing to do with Scripture. This is the rules. These are the hang-ups of dead guys. This is not the will of God.
Right.
And don't confuse the hang-ups of dead guys with the will of God. It's just like the birth control. At no point does the Bible say say thou shalt not wear a Jimmy hat, and the caller makes a great, great point. You can't go out saying how pro-life you are and that every baby must be brought into the world and then be opposed to the ways that science, which many people claim is just man trying to understand God's creation, the way science have given us of doing this. This is a blessing. And if people can have a baby through in vitro, then God bless them. It's a wonderful thing. And it's really kind of sick when an organization that calls this unnatural but helps protect child rape.
All right. I have another question for my comedy genius, Jesus. Yes. The Guardian? The headline, John, written by a priest, was Jesus gay? Probably. He writes, I preached on Good Friday that Jesus' intimacy with John suggested he was gay as I felt deeply it had to be addressed. Let me read you a little bit and get your reaction. He
said,
in all classic depictions of the Last Supper, a favorite subject of Christian art, John is next to Jesus, very often his head resting on Jesus' breasts.
His beloved, yeah.
Breastuses.
Breasticles?
There have long been rumors that John was gay, but go on.
Jesus asked John to look after his mother and asked his mother to, as he was dying, asked his mother to accept John as her son. John takes Mary home. John becomes unmistakably part of Jesus' family. Jesus was a Hebrew rabbi. Unusually, he was unmarried. The idea that he had a romantic relationship with Mary Magdalene is the stuff of fiction based on no biblical evidence. The evidence, on the other hand, that he may have been what we call today gay is very strong, but even gay rights campaigners in the church have been reluctant to suggest it. After much reflection, with certainly no wish to shock, I felt I was left with no option but to suggest for the first time in half a century of my Anglican priesthood that Jesus may well have been homosexual. Had he been devoid of sexuality, he would not have been truly human. To believe that would be heretical.
Heretical?
You know what
heretical.
I'm saying.
That's not true either.
Personal comedy Jesus?
Well, there's so much in that question, but yeah, okay, this is nothing new. These theories have been around for a long time. In fact, in the 70s, there was a vulgar adult film about this very subject, a gay porn film about this very subject, and Jesus did spend all of his time around 12 guys. Let's also remember there were three women with them at all times. There were really 15 apostles, but the guys who wrote the Bible decided, no knob, no job, it's 12 apostles and three groupies.
I don't think that's in the Bible. Ecclesiastical move.
Well, I'm translating from the Latin. I'm translating from the Latin. But, you know, this is nothing new. Now, there are a lot of rumors about the apostle John, and was he gay? I mean, Jesus could have been like one of the aesthetes who lived out in the desert and had no sex whatsoever. Martin Scorsese's adaptation of The Last Temptation of Christ shows the crowd mocking him, suggesting that maybe he is gay because he's not married and he's 30 years old. You know, the point about Jesus is that he loved everybody. And he blessed the gay union. We can prove that.
All right.
He loved the oppressors. He loved the sinners. He loved everyone.
There's going to be a part two to this
Saint
answer.
St. Paul's the one with the sex hang-ups.
All right.
He may have been gay. He's the one who may have been gay.
And listen, Kirk Cameron could very well like hiking in Griffith Park. What did I say?
Stephanie!
29
That's
minutes.
That's a much more interesting question.
After the hour, part hiking. Two of this, when we continue.
Or the ramble.
Not the town in Austria.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Was sexy as hell, but completely annoying.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Aha, Jim Ward's bringing his harmonicas to my pad later today. Tonight, whenever.
Today?
Yeah.
It's not tonight.
You should have told him. He would have
I got to go
harmonica.
To your pad last Friday after the show.
Great partay.
Uh-huh. Hell yeah.
Partay at 11 o'clock in the morning.
That's no.
That's right.
Starts
we were
Porsche.
Knocking back sea breezes and wine coolers, I'll have you know.
It's bedtime, 11 in the morning.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Derek in Minnesota writes, Steph, are the floaters in your eye the result of all the headaches in your eye from Right Wing World? Perhaps it's time for current viewers to hear the side effects of the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, that's right. The lawyers told us we probably should play the disclaimer again.
Warning. Listeners of the Stephanie Miller Show have been known to suffer serious side effects, including but not limited to rickets, rabies, scabies, eczema, the heartbreak of psoriasis, hemorrhoids, hematomas, heebie-jeebies, gingivitis, laryngitis, halitosis, expialidocious, projectile diarrhea, Epstein-Barr, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, Steinberg,
Flavin,
undescended testicles, distended ovaries, and exploding uvula syndrome. Consult your doctor if you are pregnant, awake, breathing, or have eaten within 12 hours. Some settling may have occurred. Do not use near open flame. Seek immediate medical attention if ingested. Do not induce vomiting.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. There you go. Consider us covered.
Yep.
Chris, could you take your organ back out for me? Personal comedy Jesus. So the this Guardian article by a priest. Was Jesus gay? Probably. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual, Jesus could have been any of these. There can be no certainty which. The homosexual often simply seems the most likely. The intimate relationship with the beloved disciple points in that direction. It would be so interpreted in any person today. Although there's no rabbinic tradition of celibacy, Jesus could well have chosen to refrain from sexual activity, whether he was gay or not. Many Christians wish to assume it, but I see no theological need to. All that I deeply felt had to be addressed on Good Friday. I saw it as an act of penitence for the suffering and persecution.
Penance.
You know, persecution of homosexual people that still exist in many parts of the church.
I think you mean persecution.
Yeah. I believe you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable again. Whether Jesus was gay or straight in no way affects who he was and what he means for the world today. Spiritually, it is immaterial. What matters in this context is that there are many gay and lesbian followers of Jesus, ordained and lay, who, despite the church remarkably and humbly remain its faithful members. Would the Christian churches in their many guises more openly accept, embrace, and love them, there would be many more disciples. Anyway, I'm sure that's going to cause a lot of controversy, his sermon on
sure
that Jesus was probably gay.
You know, we have the same controversy when someone brings up, was Jesus black? That we get that a lot as well.
Well, according to the Quran, he had... You know.
Well, according to the book of Revelation as well. And let's not forget, if Jesus was white and blonde hair and blue-eyed, why would his family try to hide from the Roman Empire when he was a child in Egypt?
Yeah.
But, so, you know, historically, I mean,
because if he
even...
looked Swedish, as he doesn't.
He looked exactly like Ted Neely. Everyone knows.
And sang just like him,
yeah.
Too.
All right. We got Dave.
The Ted Neely references early in the morning.
We got Dave in L.A. in trouble with his wife. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, listen, the other day, I just wanted to clarify, didn't I hear one of you guys say that douche was the same as a shower in French?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
honey
and douche.
Okay, well, I came home from the fire station and asked the wife if she'd like to douche with me.
Oh,
I haven't slept with her in 3 days.
No.
I'm on my second delivery of 50 white tulips, and I'm afraid it's going to take
flowers,
time.
Stuff stepping in the box.
Back in the bed.
Any
suggestions on how I can spin this?
More pro flowers and more Stephanie in the box.
And French lessons for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Sherry's berries.
And tell her we apologize.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that. Normally, we, you know, responsible for more sex, not less. So we apologize.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of gay crushes, Rick Perry has endorsed Mitt Romney. See, John, it ended the way I told you, with the tent scene in Brokeback Mountain.
Why I'm endorsing him.
three things I like about him. Yes, he just released a statement. I don't think he could even bear to actually say it in person. Mitt Romney has earned the Republican presidential nominations for hard work, a strong organization, and a disciplined message of restoring
discipline?
America.
How they hate each other. It's so funny.
He had originally backed, as you recall, Newt Gingrich.
That was meant to be ironic. Disciplined messaging.
Yeah.
Well, he originally backed Rick Perry, so this is his third endorsement of the year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
These guys, the best thing about the debates was how much they hated each other. It looked like the actors in a Just for Men ad gone horribly wrong.
Yeah. Horribly awry. Who would like some surprising fun facts about Ann Romney?
I would.
Okay. Thank you. Ann and Mitt met in grade school.
Nice.
I didn't know that.
Huh.
There is an article that writes, quote, the mischievous Mitt.
Mischievous.
That's what you think of when you think of Mitt Romney.
It's mischievous. Yeah.
Just scampery. Just various kinds of scampery. He would throw pebbles at Ann as she rode by on a horse.
Oh, charming.
Yeah, sure.
It's rich person foreplay.
Spook the horse. That's a great idea.
That's
the entitled little Romney kids.
Yeah. They didn't start dating until Ann was 15. She converted to Mormonism as she had been an Episcopalian.
Hmm.
The Romney, this one just makes me go, The Romneys never argue.
Sure.
Never?
Well,
that always
not.
Makes me suspect. In an interview with the Boston Globe in 1994, Ann said she could count on the number of arguments they'd had on one finger. Just one?
Well, Mitt does like to
that
fire
must
people.
Have been a doozy. Pardon me?
Mitt does like to fire people.
When Mormons marry, they're encouraged to perfect their marriages. It's like constant marriage counseling, according to That sounds fun. Okay. She has become quite skilled at dressage, as we know, a form of horse training and riding involving, quote, seven-figure horses and four-figure saddles.
Yes.
Just like
inspiring.
Just like every regular working mom.
You know, as a young couple, they work their way up from a place of pure privilege. It's really inspiring to watch.
Mm-hmm. She competes at amateur and even professional level events. She's so into her hobby that son Josh Romney once got his father a horse mask for Christmas in 1996 with the advice, maybe mom will pay as much attention to you as she does to the horses.
Wow.
Oh, God. It must be a panic around the Romney. A horse mask.
That is funny for so many reasons
so
in the fetish
weird.
Community.
Yeah.
Just going to say.
Furries, anyone?
Wow. That is weird. Stephanie in Illinois.
Oh, dear.
Hi, Steph. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I'm kind of cold because I'm trying to stay, you know, true to No Pants Friday, but it's cold in Illinois.
Awesome. It's cold.
I was just thinking, remember when they were trying to scare us that Obama was going to throw all the Sharia law on us? We were all going to, you know, be Muslim by the end of his term. isn't what the laws that the Republican attack on women, aren't those laws quite close to the Sharia law on how women have no control of their bodies and
exactly.
Life? Indeed. Indeed they are.
Exactly. See, they like liberal Muslims and conservative Christians, but it's the right-wing Muslims and the right-wing Christians that are causing all these problems.
Thank you. The Vice President Joe Biden yesterday with the big speech. Joe Biden talked
about President Obama has said, and I quote, "Now is the time to let our increased pressure sink in and to sustain the broad international coalition we've built. Now is the time to heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt, speak softly and carry a big stick." End of quote. I promise you, the president has a big stick.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Dear.
It's so funny. Come on. It's so funny.
He said he has a backbone like a ramrod.
Yeah.
Grr.
Wow.
Okay.
That is right. So funny. But it's brilliant. I mean, this is what they do. Obama's going to go for the middle, and you send out Joe Biden to mobilize the base.
Yep.
There you go.
Governor's tough talk about military action is just that, talk. And I would add, counterproductive talk.
And he got a Etch-a-Sketchy moment in John Finkelstein, Joe Biden yesterday.
We know that when the governor does venture a position, it's a safe bet that he previously took or is about to take an exactly opposite position.
Say it. It's a sketch.
A sketch.
One more time, Joe Biden.
Romney's Criticized the president for failing to...
No,
I don't know. Are you having a brain-related event?
Oh, I might have messed up on that one.
One of my floaters hit you? Okay.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, one more time.
He starts with a profound misunderstanding of the responsibilities of a president and the commander-in-chief.
Talking about Romney there,
right.
Just
yeah.
FYI. Let's go to Will in Pittsburgh on Romney. Hello, Will. Welcome.
Morning, Mooks. Mama.
Morning.
Much love all around.
Yes.
Word.
Hey, I just want to tell you guys, even though Mitt Romney is richer than I could ever imagine to be, I'm starting to feel really sorry for the guy. I'm going to borrow this line from your Hal Sparks replacement on Wednesday. It's starting to be like hunting corn with a shotgun.
He's Rick Overton. He's not just a Hal Sparks replacement.
That's right.
He is brilliant.
Well, he takes a forceful position, and then 5 minutes later, someone finds a video of him saying the exact opposite thing.
I know.
Thing.
Exactly. It's getting almost too easy.
And now he's trying to do the same thing with Seamus and Obama, eating the dog.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, well, something really horrible came out this morning, and that's why I felt the need to call in.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there is a guy throwing a birthday fundraiser for Ann Romney today. And when he was 22, or around that age, him and three of his buddies got wasted, killed a dog, skinned it, and then cooked it and tried to eat it in a park in Illinois.
Ew.
And when the cops arrested them, they were covered in blood.
Oh.
It just keeps getting worse and
Wait,
worse.
Wait, who's this? Who's this?
A guy in Illinois?
Oh. No.
It was apparently a guy who is throwing a fundraiser for Ann Romney.
For Ann Romney.
Okay. I can't hear dog stories.
There's the Huckabee Sun story, too, but that's not going to stick to Mitt.
Oh, God, by the way, for people listening yesterday, I was worried about my dog Max. He's fine, but I'm that kind of dog owner. I did like X-rays and blood work and whatever, and it's fine. I think he just had a rumbly tumbly.
And he had his colors done too. He had his colors done too.
Yes, I had his colors done. I'm a little overly nervous, Mother.
Is he in autumn?
I was. Yes, that's what I found
out. Winter. He's
winter.
Winter, because
you're all white.
Yeah. Mary Beth in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Hey, Mooks.
Hello.
It's the official Pearl Jam loving barn mom of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
I wonder, Steph, when you get cuddles, will you teach her dressage?
I will make cuddles my guide horse. My dressage
I think she
horse.
Adorable.
Yeah, and I will be in a gay pride parade dancing to Born This Way on cuddles.
Perfect.
Perfect.
And And thanks for letting my daughter Maddie talk to Hal last week when she called in. She really does love lab rats, and it was a real treat. It was a highlight of our family's day. So thank you.
And you're I'm always happy to pimp out Hal Sparks. And John
Finkelstein. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting him and you and John in Boston. So.
Oh, yay, in June. Hooray. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back, more Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Foxy Brown got rich thinking about that homeless lady.
Yeah. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Meredith in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Meredith.
Hi, I wanted to say a few things about the President Obama is cool commercial.
Yes.
I thought it was one of ours. He looked like the most interesting man in the world. I think we should co-opt it, and at the end when it says, are you better off? And if not, then please vote for a Democratic congressperson.
Yeah.
We can get something done.
Yeah, Meredith, I actually said that earlier. We share a brain. I said we should use the exact, because it's like contrasting him and Romney. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
The least interesting man in the world and the most interesting man. And then, literally, you're right, just at the end go, yes, we are better off. Here's the statistics.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. By the way, the boner, talking about, you know, Jim, apparently for the first time ever in history, the president is campaigning in some way.
What?
For some...
What?
You can't do that.
Talking about actual issues that affect actual people, like student loans.
Frankly, I think this is beneath the dignity of the White House. To try to make this a political issue is pathetic.
It is a political issue. You are going to make it let student loan interest rates double.
As long as he's not playing golf, because Bush never did that.
No, exactly. Oh, by the way, here was the other one. Obama lowered the status of the office. This was Gretchen Carlson said it's nutso for Obama to go on these comedy shows because it lowers the status of the office.
Right.
Dana Perino said Bush had a very different outlook on these comedy shows. He liked them, he respected them, but he never went on them during his presidency.
Really?
Well, that's
There's
interesting.
Video.
Because, yeah, exactly. Where is my...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
She's still a little tiny dancer of deception, isn't she?
A little lying sack of cute.
By the way, Bush also appeared on the show Deal or No Deal on NBC, which is...
Indeed, and that was a final year piece of damage control, putting him on there. And again, this is the president who did a whimsical video where he mocked looking for the weapons of mass destruction after thousands of Americans died on that mission. So let's not talk about this guy.
That wasn't him.
In the office.
It was somebody else.
Yeah.
No, it's just Trav.
He never went on those shows.
And by the way, anybody remember MC Rove when Carl Rove did his little rap
dance? Of course,
dance the correspondence?
Yeah, we just posted that this morning on Steph's Facebook page.
David Gregory is up there dancing with
him. Brenda in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Steph. You read my email a little while ago, but you forgot the most important part. You didn't wish my puppies a happy birthday.
Oh, what are their names?
Sadie and Daisy in your crazy dog voice.
Sadie and Daisy? Who's a good girl? So handsome.
Okay. They're five today.
They're how old?
Five.
Aw, they're 5 years old. They're handsome. Girls can be handsome.
Well, geez, my cat turned two this week. I didn't know I could get a pet shout-out from Ms. Miller.
All right.
And now, another long-distance dedication.
And now, story about a cat. Darren, my right-wing love muffin in Miami. Hi, Darren.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. You guys are having a jovial time, so now I feel like it's all dry and boring if I can go down my road.
No.
Why?
No.
Because you're a conservative? Come on.
Yeah. Well, I'm a conservative that wants to be a Democrat, but I can't.
Okay, why?
But the Democrats are pretty conservative.
I guess the ones that are around there now, but they're compromising, that's all. The real reason is, forget the social...
Is that a dirty word?
What?
Compromise? Yeah.
Some things, not all things. Some things need
depends on which direction you're compromising in.
Right. I mean, there's some things you just can't. I mean, just saying compromise for the sake of compromise is a way. But nonetheless, the real thing is, fiscally, Democrats, Democratic fiscal policies are not are not rational, unfortunately.
They're not rational. They're not as rational as George Bush's policies.
Democratic presidents.
Well, I mean, I know you're not going to like this, but I got to be frank with you. Bush is not the representative of a conservative view. Was Reagan, sir? Reagan was, yes.
Did Reagan balance a budget once in 8 years?
No, he didn't balance a budget.
Can you tell me the last Republican president to balance a budget, sir?
The last Republican, you know what? Clinton was the last one.
The last Republican president to ever balance a budget even 1 year. Can you help me out with that?
Richard Nixon. That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So your argument is? No. I mean, there is no way to avoid running any kind of, you know, deficits at times. I mean, it just happens. We don't have it. But here's the thing. Democrats don't matter, as Dick Cheney said. Well, deficits don't matter. In the short term, no. But when you run a systemic deficit like we're doing now, which is simply, hey, we can spend as much as we want, we just can keep rolling deficit. Yeah, maybe 5 years, 10 years, maybe even 20 years, you could probably ignore it. But
sir, you had the right wing, the GOP. I'm sorry, the Republican Party controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate from 2000 through 2007. They ran deficits every single year and controlled everything. How does this not negate every part of your argument?
It doesn't negate any part of my argument. Only because.
Not any part, every part.
Yeah. No, because they didn't roll over the deficit every year and grow it exponentially. So you're right, they did run deficits. Absolutely, they did.
They didn't put the two wars on the books, sir. Yeah, that's because they didn't put those two wars on the books.
They swept it under the carpet.
I understand, but there's one thing that you're ignoring on that fiscal program, and that is that government spending actually went down during time. So, therefore, there was a negation of the deficit during the
cycle. It only went down, sir. Government spending only went down if you don't factor in these costly, stupid wars and Medicare Part D. Government spending went up.
That's right.
Now, let me bring to you something you guys should check out.
Let me ignore what you just said so that I can move on to something else.
My question is, why would fiscal conservatives ever vote for the Republican Party given the last 35 years of their history? Why would conservatives go to these guys? You can't trust them with your money.
That's a great question.
And because most people can't be idealistically committed, there's got to be some compromise. And some of the compromises, well, they may spend a lot, but they won't spend as much. So, yes, you're right. I mean, I totally agree with you. But what I find
George, you just admitted that Bill Clinton left an incredible surplus. George Bush
left Obama
an incredible deficit.
I got to tell you, I thought Clinton turned out to be, in hindsight, one of the best presidents we ever had.
Okay, so why do you want to go back to George Bush's policies?
I don't want it. I would totally go with Clinton.
But other than Ron Paul, which GOP candidate didn't want to go to a complete return to Bush policies?
By the way,
it's Ronnie, more deregulation.
Hang on, John. Go ahead, Darren.
By the way, Romney is going to be closer to Clinton than he's going to be anywhere near closer to Bush.
No, he is Bush to the 10th power.
He wants to cut taxes for the wealthy even more and deregulate.
Even more than George Bush did. Oh, dear God in heaven.
Aw.
And let's not forget, too, in all this Clinton praise, that Bill Clinton deserves his fair share of the blame for this financial crisis.
This is what I love. Glenn Hubbard, this is his recommendation. Former chair of President Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. There you go.
Wow.
Now an advisor to Romney claimed that projections claimed in President Obama's most recent budget would require an across-the-board tax increase of 11% for taxpayers under $200,000 in order to cover the spending. Austin Goolsbee, who we've had on the show,
from the president's economic advisor,
says Hubbard's claim the president's budget requires large tax increases on the middle class to stabilize the debt is just factually wrong. Just go look at the Congressional Budget Office numbers. They examine the president's budget and directly refute the central claim of this whole op-ed. This is the problem, is they're just wrong.
Yeah.
Hello, numbers.
I don't like your facts.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. Happy Friday, everybody. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from 100? anywhere. 1-800-STEP-12. What? StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Sexy Liberal John Pugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours.
And this, hi, kids.
This just in from Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland. Minneapolis with special guest Aisha Tyler is nearing sellout. And since it's Mother's Day's weekend, it's May 12th. We have a special Mother's Day offer. Go to Ticketmaster.com, put in the word, the code word "sexy mom," one word for 20% off if you buy two or more tickets. Details on Sexy Liberal at Facebook and Sexy Liberal on Twitter. Okay, check it out.
That's right. And I will hit on all sexy moms brought to that show.
You will. Yes, you will. All right.
Well, I have to. I'm on stage with you and Aisha, so it's really the tour of me striking out with everybody.
You don't. You are just so unnecessarily humble. Oh. All right. Karen in Downers Grove, Illinois. Yes, we will buy the book. Mama's starting work on a book. To answer Chris's question, yes, we love the stories. We want even more details. We look forward to even more stories about growing up sane among Republicans, especially those of us who also experienced brothers who mistook us for tackling dummies. Not just me.
Yes, but you voted Republican up until your days at USC.
Well, I was under threat of, you know, tackling.
Something.
I would be tackled if
okay.
I didn't. Or shot with a BB gun. Steph, you, Hal, and John were absolutely awesome in Madison. You even got a few chuckles out of my husband, who usually can't find humor in politics. We were leaving after the meet and grope. He said he totally gets why I'm so obsessed. Awesome, Karen. We welcome you to be obsessed with us, please. Mm-hmm. Please. Dave in Minneapolis. Steph, I'm guessing your floaters are simply a part of aging. A lot of people concerned about Mama's floaters. Mm, huh? Go to the eye doctor Monday.
Oh, yesterday, John, she was talking about she has floaters in her eye.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's part of, it's the tour that's killing me, John. Don't worry. Don't feel guilty.
Well, I know. That one day a month, I know, is terrible of traveling mm-hmm. to a city where people adore you. I understand that's torture for
you. Why don't you hush? The only thing he cautioned, the doctor told me about, if they become more numerous, it may be the sign of attached retina. Awesome. Have you had a blow to the head recently?
You almost ruined your eye.
Oh, well, that was a long time ago. Maybe
that was 2 years ago. That wasn't a long time ago.
Maybe your repeated exposure to the sound of Sarah Palin's voice has resulted in things shaking loose in your head. That could be. You see what you did there? The worst happens, you need to wear an eye patch. It may be a blessing. Your new look would appeal to the pirate demographic on current TV. When I see you at Minneapolis, a sexy liberal, I would give you a parrot and a bandana. You're on your own regarding the peg leg. Dave in Minneapolis, very nice. Thank you.
You need a current logo on your eye patch.
On my eye patch?
Yeah.
They'll make sure to do that.
Product placement.
All right. Derek in Knoxville, Tennessee. Staff, I love seeing you on Current. Still listen daily on the radio at work. You're looking better than ever, but my cable company doesn't offer Current in HD yet, so I won't know for sure until they do. That will never happen if I have anything to say about it.
Actually, it could happen. These cameras that are in here, they are already HD. So when Current does go to HD, all they have to do is...
Oh, when Current goes to HD, I'm going to smash those with a mallet. That's what I'm going to do. I wanted to say, I understand what you're going through with your mom not knowing how to use the machine. That's what she calls my brother's computer.
Oh.
I tried to show my grandmother how to use my computer. When I said to click start, she started poking the screen. Derek in Knoxville. Yeah, you remember, Chris, my mom turned my stereo off in New York many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it stayed off for many years. She actually punched the button all the way through to the inside of the...
Oh.
Yeah, and so I had to fish my finger in there for years to try to turn it on and get electrocuted. Thanks, Mom. Thanks. I'm like, okay, that's off now, Mom. Thanks. Yes, ma'am. Yes. All right, and one last one. Justin in San Francisco. Mama, I listened to you on my iHeart Radio app on my phone since the local station here in San Francisco plays Glenn Beck.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
Oh, thanks for asking. The ratings are down 90%. That was a business decision, Jim.
Yep.
Yeah. On the way in this morning, I nearly wet myself when you and Jim were doing the back and forth about things Siri says. When Jim says you are a big fat liar, my mind filled with joy that Siri would sing the lying sack of crap song.
You are a lying sack of crap. You are a lying sack of crap. A dirty, nasty, filthy, stinky sack of liquid crap.
Crap. Okay.
You got the Bobby Kennedy Siri voice? That's awesome. I love that app.
Yeah, Bobby Kennedy was up here.
I was asking earlier, does this make me a really bad bleeding heart liberal? But my girlfriend Lisa likes to get in fights with Siri as a joke.
Yes,
and
of course.
I feel bad for Siri. I'm like, don't say that to her.
Oh, don't be like that. Siri can take it. Ask Siri where to hide a body. Do what she tells you.
Yeah, she'll tell you.
Siri can be your best accomplice.
It's a thing people do now. They get in fights with Siri just to, you know, for fun, to be
and
funny. And I'm like,
that's all I do. My wife has it. And I'm just like, Siri, what if I swallow too much lube? I just want to see what she says on everything. Siri, how do I clean needles with bleach? You know, just go there. Siri will hook you up, malcontents.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, I defend even inanimate computer programs because I feel bad because she was bullying Siri.
What did Siri tell you when you said you swallowed too much lube?
Yeah, well, what do you do for that?
I'm just making up a joke.
I know.
All right, let's dive in.
I was curious.
I just use it to find porn, Chris.
let's dive in.
The reason men use the internet, right, is to find porn?
Sure, yeah, that's it.
That's what I hear.
Okay, hang on, I get turned down
by porn, too.
Oh, you're going to ask her.
Yeah, hang on.
Are you really going to ask her?
Hang on.
Ask it.
This is good radio.
Siri, how do I get new MOOCs?
You missed it.
All right, damn it. All right.
You missed the window.
I missed the window. All right.
Why are you so slow, bitch?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. For some reason, Siri always calls Jenk from the Young Turks, no matter what I push on here.
Oh, no.
Siri, don't do that. He's probably still sleeping.
So funny.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we?
My iPhone just, like, pocket dials Kelly Carlin all the time.
Really?
And drunk retweets Glenn Beck, which is more
weird. Okay. Michelle Malkin on Hannity.
You know, America has been collectively a slow learner when it comes to Barack Obama. And I've said many times that we knew what we were getting. And, you know, we were frustrated, you and I, trying to get the message out in 2008. And that is why we're trying over time, redoubling our efforts to vet the president.
Yes,
not only his record over the last 4 years, but everything that led up to his grooming, the marinating and this leftist progressive ideology. And it's going to get worse.
Wow. They're getting a little hysterical over on the right.
Well, no. Yes. Michelle Malkin is always hysterical sounding.
Yeah.
Well, she's just getting excited because next week she gets to celebrate the one-year anniversary of George Bush nailing Osama bin Laden.
Awesome. Yeah, this is the vetting. Oh, by the way, Arizona GOP Senate candidate expresses doubt about Obama's citizenship.
Huh,
they are going to keep vetting him if it kills them. Businessman Will Cardin, a Republican running for Senate in Arizona, won't say if he's President Obama. Is a citizen. He said he thinks people running for office, just people, Jim, some unnamed people, ought to prove their citizenship. When asked he was satisfied that Obama had met those qualifications, he sidestepped it. I haven't been in the middle of that inspection.
Inspection.
Yeah, and by the way, Chris, you know this in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins the Republican nomination will likely beat the Democratic nominee. So even if it's this guy, they don't care.
You know what? They're probably not putting up a strong Democrat to fight, but it's not unheard of. Arizona, they had in fact, McCain replaced a Democrat senator, Dennis DeConcini. So it could happen.
Although, John, they say Arizona may be in play this year for
Jan Brewer. Thank you, Jan Brewer, for inspiring the liberals of your state to stand up.
Yes, thank you, Crypt Keeper. Okay. Greg Gutfeld on the 5.
Romney has to make something clear. He's not running against one opponent. He's running against several. It's like, you know, when Batman would have to fight the Joker and there'd be all these henchmen with turtlenecks, and they'd say henchman number one. That's the media. Mm. So Obama's going to come out. He's going to have all the Batman henchmen in their turtlenecks, and Romney's going to have to fight them.
You're going
to
see them all
Saturday night.
Fun. Except for that study that showed that Obama got twice as much negative coverage as Romney last year. Mm. Huh. Interesting. Okay.
Damn liberal media.
Biff, bam, pow.
All right.
Off.
The last three Romneys. Okay, John Eastman from the National Organization for Marriage on the radio.
Yes.
Sure.
The fact of the matter is, Governor Romney has signed our pledge where he will defend the Defense of Marriage Act, where he will support an amendment to protect traditional marriage nationwide. He has signed that pledge, and we fully expect that he will honor his pledge in that regard.
No, sure.
When does he not honor the pledge?
Well, you go ahead and keep on expecting
Governor Romney
to
has
stick
pledged.
To an original position.
Oh, bless
his
heart.
He has pledged to us. He promises that he has flip-flopped on the issue of marriage equality.
Yeah. Pathetic. All right, Juan Williams and Dana Perino on the 5.
I think, in fact, if it's you look at what the president's done in terms of ending the war in Iraq, Afghanistan, if you think about the president, reviving the auto industry, if you think about the president saying something to Wall Street and trying to rein in some of those raiders. And
I think that's pretty thin gruel that the president is trying to run on.
Thin gruel?
Wow, really? As opposed to the fluffy, delightful oatmeal that George Bush served up.
We are this president going after and attacking those innocent pro-growth Lehman Brothers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thin
gruel.
Yeah, capturing Osama bin Laden is just thin
really?
Gruel.
Really? Is that all you got?
Big deal. I could have done that.
Okay. And now here is, I know, it's shocking. The aforementioned, the forepromised Rush Limbaugh saying something sexist. Yes. And also, making fun of someone else's weight.
Yeah.
In this case, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Mrs. Clinton worked very hard. And now Hillary has reached the pinnacle. And all she is a secretary. She's the secretary.
Secretary of State.
Wow. State, whatever. But still a secretary. No, don't say that. They're still trying to get me to keep talking about Spanx. And I don't know. I know people might be better served if there was a product called Spankles.
Wow,
see,
it's
that's
really
funny
because
Spanx is a slimming garment, and so you see, Rush Limbaugh
is this guy making
about her ankles and her weight because who better?
And how is this guy making millions and millions of dollars a year?
Because that's not entertaining.
He tells bitter, middle-aged, and senior white guys with impacted colons and trucks exactly what they want to hear. And you will never go broke telling right-wing people who've been wrong about everything since the first Clinton budget what they want to hear.
They've got trucks impacted in their colons?
That's how he stays on the air. He still has colon blow as his father.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, and we finish with Tucker Carlson on Brit Baer.
I'm not convinced they can ride foreign policy too far in this race. I'm just not convinced a lot of Americans give the president credit for, say, the killing of Osama bin Laden as if Bush didn't try hard enough or something.
Well, he didn't try hard enough. He let him escape Tora Bora and said he didn't care.
Bin Laden unit. Yeah.
Everybody today, go to alternet.org to read the new column, Tucker Carlson's Pathetic Descent into the Gutter of Hackdom.
Yes, I read that.
I read that. I don't think people give the president credit for killing bin Laden. Yeah, I think they kind of do, Tucker.
It's a great article on Alternet, and they point out that they don't believe that Tucker Carlson's racist or sexist, just that he's lame because he's using racism to get hits on his site.
Yep.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fuglesang. Oh,
is that Timbuk3 you're playing?
It is.
Wow.
I know, right? I actually went to a Timbuk3 concert.
I saw them open for Sting once at Jones Beach.
You blurt out the most embarrassing thing.
Stop it!
Ever.
What, about the music you're playing?
All right, we just finished Right Wing World. I like to do What the Fox,
okay.
Which is
please.
What will be on Fox tonight.
Right.
Because we are also psychic. A cluster fox, exactly. First Lady Michelle Obama praises Secret Service. I would like to sneak out more. See how sneaky black people are? I'm just saying, they'll find a way to make this bad because Michelle Obama said it. On Thursday, speaking before a group of children, trying to indoctrinate your children.
Mm.
At the White House, First Lady Michelle Obama took the opportunity to praise the embattled Secret Service. She said, we love them dearly and they do a great job. And described, she loves hookers and blow.
Oh, God.
And described how difficult it was for her and the president to sneak out if they wanted to. See, black people are sneaky.
A few months ago, she snuck out to Target.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She can say anything, and Fox News somehow makes it some sort of...
Yes, but Target has a clothing line by Isaac Mizrahi, which proves that gay men are trying to invade the fashion industry.
Yeah, that is shocking.
Wow.
Shocking. What?
Yikes.
Okay, let's go to Dave in London. Oh, my goodness. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, guys.
Hi.
I wanted to call you earlier, but we actually had to evacuate. There was a bomb scare at the Huffington Post building here in the West End.
I saw that on the news up here. Yeah. Are you okay?
We're fine. It was just one guy they arrested him, and they took him away. Apparently, he had failed a driving test of a driving school that was located in the building, and he was looking for his instructor strapped with cans of gasoline.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Oh, dear. All right.
You know, got to watch the parallel parking portion on that.
Yeah.
So, just wanted one, please, please bring the sexy liberal tour to London. We love you and we miss you terribly.
Aww.
So, we need you here because for the last 2 years we've been having
economic policies from the conservatives here, very much like what Mitt wants to do, and it was all over the papers this week. Britain is now officially back in a double-dip recession. So
yes.
It not only does it not work in the U.S., it doesn't work here
right,
either.
Right, yes. Thank you. Thank you, austerity
policies.
How's
that austerity working for you?
Yeah. It's fairly austere. Let's go to Bill in Columbus.
Shock doctrine.
Yeah, exactly. Morning. Naomi Klein. Bill, yes, hello.
Good morning, Mama and the Mooks.
Hello.
Hey, hi. I just was wondering if you don't already have one, if I could be the official Surly bartender.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, a Surly associate producer, but please, go ahead.
I wanted to compliment Jim for all the voices and the bits. I really love it. And I was just curious if you'd ever worked with any members of the Fire Sign Theater.
Well, I know Phil Proctor. Mm-hmm. I see him.
You see him all around town here, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic, because I just love the stuff that you're doing. Also,
that's why he is the voice deity. Thank you.
Thank God for a voice deity. Everybody needs one. I wish I had one.
Yeah.
I was noticing that there seems to be that veiled racism that goes along with the Karl Rove ad, and I was just thinking...
Veiled? I didn't think it was very veiled.
Well, I was thinking...
Veiled like the Colombian hooker.
Change that name from American's Crossroad to America's Burning Crossroad.
Yeah, there you go. Flarvin. It's Chris in Atlanta on the same subject. Hi, Chris.
Hey, I am so glad we got to see how the Republicans will act with our first black president. They have lost their minds. They are so racist, male chauvinist, and anti-intellectual that the Tea Party has been born.
Yep. Oh, look at you. You're just cracking you up.
That was a maniacal cackle there.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Buddy. Like hearing your evil plot.
Buddy in Columbus. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
Good morning to you and the Mooks and that uber-hot Jackie Schechner.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
I want to go over a couple images that are just amazing. Number one is the Scottish guy rubbing the balloon in Donald Trump's head.
Yeah, I saw that picture.
Pull his hair up. I love them Scots. But, you know, we are so lucky to have a president we have. Now, it didn't get enough play. That picture of our president in Rosa Parks' bus is amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, that is an image for the ages.
Yeah.
I mean, and at the end of it, the man has a class. He doesn't talk about he's the first black president. He talked about the sacrifices of others. And one day, we're going to be lucky enough to say we lived at a time when we had a guy who had serious game as president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for that picture, by the way, of him striking that Heisman pose. You can just, like, a lot of times you can just see the reaction in the crowd. I mean, all these, is it Navy or Airmen or who is it?
Well, yeah, that was the Air Force because they had a really good team.
But cracking up. They're just, like, cracking up and, you know, they asked him to do it. They handed him a football and asked him to do the Heisman pose, and he did.
That's great.
And, you know, I mean, check out the difference between the looks on the faces of people in an Obama crowd and in the Romney crowd. Romney, it's like they, you know.
If they'd asked Romney to do it, they what now?
I'm sorry.
I could do dressage horse pose.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the people in the background of the Romney speech are looking offside the camera like, can I get my per diem now for being here?
Where's my cash? Where's my bag of cash? Or, like, you know, they smell a dressage horse dropping of some sort. There's those looks. The woman, when he's made the cookie comment, she's just like...
Oh, God, that was awesome.
A real enthusiasm deficit, and it's easy to see why. But again... Don't underestimate them, liberals.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Dana Gould, comedian extraordinaire, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Think of her 35 years of success and millions of friends worldwide.
Don't ask me. I'm just a girl.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Look at us. We're lousy with comedic geniuses. Emmy-winning voice deity Jim Ward right there.
Hello.
John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire, sexy liberal in the New York Bureau. And
you can now donate to George Zimmerman at johnfugelsang.com.
No, you cannot. George Zimmerman has shut down his website, by the way.
Yep. Well, he's got $200,000 now.
Yeah, so I guess, anymore. Yeah, just for...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The site featured, by the way, two pictures, one of a protester holding a Justice for Zimmerman sign, and the other a shot of that vandalized Black mm-hmm. Cultural Center. That had mm-hmm. the long live Zimmerman.
Long live Zimmerman.
Yep. Uh-huh. Wow.
Yes.
Stay classy.
Yes. His lawyer apparently asked him to. You know, this might look bad. This might look like you're trying to profit in some way off of a tragedy.
Yeah.
A kid.
And no, actually, what his lawyer said this morning was he may need up to $1 million in legal defense funds.
Really?
So his lawyer was not really too upset about it because that's going right to his pocket. Of course, this is also Mr. Zimmerman, who in his bond hearing over the weekend said that in his apology to the Trayvon Martin family, that I thought your son was just a little bit younger than me. And on the 911 tape, we hear him calling
teenager.
Mr. Martin 18.
Yeah. Yeah. Teenager.
It's almost like you can't trust what this guy says.
Huh. Right? All right.
Help or I'll shoot.
Hmm. The big buildup I was trying to get to with Emmy Award-winning voice deity Jim Ward and comedian extraordinaire John Fugelsang is that comedian extraordinaire Dana Gould is on the phone.
Yay!
Here in Los Angeles. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning. How are you all?
We had your fellow comedic legend Rick Overton in studio.
How nice is he?
Right? And you guys are both performing together this weekend on Sunday, correct?
This Sunday at 6:30 at the Writers Guild Theater.
Yes.
There in Los Angeles on Wilshire Boulevard.
Yes. Yes.
We're doing a benefit for Citizens United, which is an amazing organization that, among other things, is leading the fight to get a constitutional amendment to overturn the Citizens United. The Citizens United ruling.
Right.
That's
and,
awesome.
The Public Citizen is the name of the organization.
Yeah, Public Citizen Stand Up for Main Street is the event. You can go to citizen.org for tickets. And what a lineup you have. It's you and Rick, obviously, Wendy Liebman, Ray Romano. What a great show.
Young Mark Maron.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome.
People taking time away from their podcasts to do something that they can talk about on a future podcast. I once felt bad because I had no podcast, and then I met a man who had no blog.
You know,
but of course I do have a podcast, Stephanie.
That's right.
Thank
the
you.
Dana Gould Hour.
Thank you.
Yes.
Why, thank you, Dana.
Just 59 minutes more than anyone needs to spend with me. Continue.
You know, there's a lot of great stuff that this group has worked on, though. It's not just the Citizens United, but they airbag.
Yeah, we get airbags and the Citizens United is one of the many things that they do, but it is basically a public citizen advocate group that, at its very nature, is the best thing about our culture. It's standing up for the little guy. And what is amazing is that we live in a time where corporations feed through media outlets. They turn the little guy against the things that the little guy relies on.
Which never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
Is this Ralph Nader's?
People who will never clear $40,000 a year bitching about the death tax.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Is this Ralph Nader's organization?
Let me just throw a name at you. My sister.
Yeah.
Are you the one that did the Huffington Post piece, How Public Citizen is Just Like Battlestar Galactica?
No, that was Steve Scrovan.
Oh, okay.
That was Steve Scrovan, who actually founded, is on the board of the organization.
Oh, okay.
But he did point out that it is a lot like Battlestar Galactica, that we built, Battlestar Galactica, as I'm sure everyone who hears my voice now knows. And if you don't know, why are we talking?
Dana, John and I have obviously been going around the country on tour, and it really is just the best Republican primary for comedy ever, isn't it?
It is amazing, and they've elected their most Cylon-esque candidate.
Yes.
It would be interesting to see if what I think would be great for the Republicans is that if they were forced to dress in the era from which they have their views.
Well, they already are, aren't they? These are the teabaggers, don't they dress like...
the
Middle Ages.
If you really looked at, if you looked at Rick Santorum, if you took his views, he would have to be in, ruffles and spats and a powdered wig, because that is from the era in which his views on women were forged.
Mm-hmm. It is. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Is this the death of comedy, though, that Mitt Romney is going to be the actual nominee?
Oh.
No, it'll always survive. And it's one of the great things about our country is that he's the actual nominee, and it's already 49-48. It's already 48. He's only trailing by 2 points, which is always amazing to me. Is that basically they could nominate a barrel of used batteries, and it would be 49-51.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
or they're, they're getting some funky chicken parts.
Yeah, yeah. Dana, I know. I mean, that we were saying, like, with this Super PAC, Karl Rove Super PAC just ran this ad. It basically is saying Barack Obama's too cool. It's,
right, yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, they're look, you know, there are differences of opinion, you know, people do. I have very good friends that are Republicans, and people have different views of how to skin a cat. You know, there are different ways to approach different problems. That's all fine. I like to talk to Republicans who I can have a difference of opinion with, but we don't hate each other. I don't think they want to destroy the country. They don't think I want to destroy the country. We just have different views. That's fine. They always come down on the wrong side of every social issue. And the fact that they're attacking him for being too cool, you really are. It's the party of Eddie Haskell and the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, it's like, why are you, you know, it's so naked.
Yeah, Well, and I love that
I hate naked and Karl Rove in the same thought.
Yeah, I know. God. I was hoping you would apologize for that. Dana, they don't.
It does look like a nylon stocking stuffed with light bulbs.
You know, you mentioned Rick Santorum and his views on women, but they really don't get it, do they?
And you rarely get Santorum and women.
You don't get that a lot at the same time. Now, but the thing is, like, you know, they don't get the whole war on women, like these transvaginal probes. Like, you know what I mean? You literally have, like, lawmakers going, "What? Just close your eyes."
My favorite thing about that is you can tell that it dinged them, that it blew up in their face. Now, blew up in their face in Santorum, those are the people.
Yes.
You
are packing an awful lot of Santorum humor into the segment, my friend.
Interesting choice of words.
Yes. Yeah. That's tightly packed.
their ham-fisted way of countering it is the real war on women is gas prices.
Yeah. What?
Well, the real war on women is the EPA's attempt to regulate hydrofracking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The real war on women is curtailing the estate tax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't, you know, and they can run, but they can run, but they can't hide from it. And I like that even Rick Santorum's wife said, "Well, he won't do these things." So you know they're insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, Dana, you brought up Citizens United, one of the things that the event tonight is about. And the Supreme Court, obviously, is right in the center of this race, aren't they? They're about to decide on health care and immigration. And they've gotten so unbelievably politicized, haven't they? I mean, Scalia's doing right-wing talking points.
You know, culture shifts on a pendulum. And it swings far to the left, and it swings far to the right. And in the case of the Supreme Court, there are many on the far right who say that the Warren Court swung too far to the left. And if that were true, and I have my difference of opinion with that, then the Roberts Court shows that the conservative movement swinging far to the right. And that is one of the important things about this presidential election, that it never seems to translate to people.
Right.
That you're also voting on the next two appointments of the Supreme Court. Remember, you know, Clarence Thomas was put on the Supreme Court in the early 1990s, and he's going to be there for 10, 20, 30 more years.
Right.
Elections have consequences, and that you have to really realize this court is so dangerously far to the right. It boggles the mind where it could go even farther. So what Public Citizen is doing is beginning the movement for a constitutional amendment to overturn the Citizens United ruling, which is the reason that we have this insane presidential election now.
Right, and Dana, I mean, obviously...
I will say something in defense of Mitt Romney.
Okay.
I know someone who knows him very well.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Massachusetts. And they say this. He's a smart guy and right now is very well aware that he is stuck in a clown show.
Yeah. Yeah, Stoll syndrome.
Does not feel comfortable in the clown show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're letting the clown show take over. And, you know, the problem is, even if you're a smart guy in the clown show, you bring a lot of clowns with you. So I'm
right.
not interested.
Well, I mean, that's it. That's part of it is that, you know, our John Fugelsang here created the Etch-a-Sketch moment. He was the one that asked the question of his advisor.
Oh, was that John?
That was me, yeah.
Right, but I mean...
John, I follow you on Twitter.
I follow you, Dana.
Other places.
I know. You changed your answering machine code. That's so weird.
All right, listen, you guys do your bromance on your own time.
Twitter is not the greatest place to go if you feel like you're being followed.
Dana, I mean, I guess my point, though, is that, you know, John's question was right on the money. Is the problem is he has been pushed so far to the right by this clown show.
Right.
That, and on top of it, he has the flip-flopper reputation.
Well, I don't think he is a man, I don't think he is a man of any core beliefs whatsoever.
Right.
Which is not the worst thing in the world, unless you're listening to psychopaths.
But at least, Dana, he's been consistent in that his entire career.
Exactly.
There's been no flip-flopping. He's been a human windsock all the way.
Yes, he is. He is zealot.
Yeah, exactly. Dana Gould is performing with our friend Rick Overton and a bunch of other brilliant folks. This Sunday, go to citizen.org for tickets. This Sunday in Los Angeles at the WGA Theater in Beverly Hills. Dana, a pleasure. Talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
Here's what the Republicans would do if Barack Obama was their client and Mitt Romney was our, not client, but if it was reversed. Right. Think of Mitt Romney in your mind. Think of Barack Obama in your mind. Here's what the Republican ad would be. One of these men dyes their hair. You decide.
All right, Dana, see you again real soon.
Goodbye.
There you go. Yay. Dana Gould, 45 minutes after the hour. Back at the remaining moments of Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah,
it's too bad those guys didn't write any hooks. That was really tragic.
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang making chicks' dreams come true.
Yeah, all across the country.
In the Sexy Liberal Show. Coming up, oh, by the way, May in Minneapolis with John Fugelsang and Aisha Tyler and I almost sold out. I would hurry to get that. That is the next upcoming Sexy Liberal. And John Fugelsang can be seen elsewhere.
Yes, I can. I will be, this past January, we got the pleasure of playing in Phoenix at the beautiful Orpheum Theater with the Sexy Liberal Show with Mr. Sparks. I'll be returning there a week from this Saturday, bringing Guilt a Love Story, my off-Broadway solo show, Drama League nominated, yada, yada. And I'm really thrilled to be going back to Phoenix, and the crowds are great, and tickets are on sale for that. So please come down to see a solo show for people who hate solo shows, and vote for our friend Kenny Pick in the Netroots Nation scholarship competition.
Kenny Pick from Cleveland, hooray.
Yes, that's on my Twitter.
All right, here's a story about everything that's wrong with America, Jim. Another heart attack grill customer collapses while eating a bypass burger.
Wow.
A woman
really is truth in advertising.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm a really, live and let live liberal. This is just wrong.
This is a McCartney song. It's Live and let die.
Yeah, live and let judge. A woman collapsed into unconsciousness at the Las Vegas restaurant while eating a double bypass burger, drinking a margarita, and smoking a cigarette.
Oh, wow.
That encompasses everything wrong with her right there.
But that's all genetic.
She was the second in just over 2 months to collapse at the restaurant.
Why don't you just lie down on the train tracks? It would be quicker.
See, all the burgers, Jim, are named after various forms of cardiac arrest.
Hilarious.
The waitresses are dressed like nurses.
They should really be nurses.
Yeah.
They do offer the Sloppy Joe IV drip there.
The Heart Attack Grill's owner says it's a lifestyle issue. We attract the avant-garde of lifestyle seekers.
Mm, that's avant-garde?
More like death style seekers.
Call it rather common.
The Heart Attack Grill offers free meals to any customer who weighs over 350 pounds.
Wow.
And features a Butterfact milkshake, non-filtered cigarettes, flatliner fries, and four burgers, each rated on an ascending scale of single bypass to quadruple bypass.
They had some sort of deal with a funeral parlor or something?
Last year, the company's 600-pound spokesmodel died when he was 29 years old.
Wow.
And on Fox News, Michelle Obama is the culprit for saying, hey, kids, you might want to move a little bit.
Yeah.
Eat a carrot. Now and again. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the government imposing their will on us.
Oh, boy. All right. It's time for our new feature, Office Bitch of the Week. Did you hear of this? Mm-hmm. A Long Island woman said she was fired after she donated a kidney to help save the life of her boss.
Yeah.
And the boss fired her.
Debbie Stevens, a 47-year-old divorced mother of two, filed a complaint with the New York State Human Rights Commission last Friday, claiming her boss used her for her organ, then fired her after the woman got what she wanted.
Oh,
her boss, 61-year-old Jackie Brucia.
Mm-hmm.
So she was hired as her assistant. She said, she started treating me horribly, viciously, inhumanely after the surgery. It was almost like she hired me just to get a kidney. Although Stevens turned out to be a less than perfect kidney match, she donated her organ to an out-of-state stranger so her boss could move up on the organ donor list.
Wow. That's incredible.
Wow.
And then, you know, one day she wasn't feeling all that well because of the surgery. She asked for time off.
Yes.
The boss said, no, you need to be here. How bad will it look if you're not here?
And then...
you're fired.
That's right.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful, magical story.
Wow. Republic's going to be a very special wing in hell where your kidney is just taken from your body without anesthesia every day. By Carrot Top.
Yikes.
By Carrot Top.
Right.
With a dull spoon.
Our sexy liberal John Fugelsang has been to Haiti. Sean Penn has received an award for work in Haiti. Don't you love how he's one of the other people that Fox News like villainizes?
Yeah,
he's actually,
all the time.
He spends at least half his time in Haiti.
That was the great thing.
Yeah.
He lives there, and I got to go to his camp. He has 55,000 people living on a 9-hole golf course, many of whom can't go home. And when I was in Haiti, I got to go to the officer's tent in the command center, and all the flat screens in there were tuned to Fox.
Right.
But the generals all said to me, after they met Sean Penn, he completely changed their whole idea of how they viewed him, and it was so inspiring to see the military and artists working together to help the people of Haiti.
Well, that's what I mean. He's, you know, they love to criticize, because any left-wing celebrity, obviously, they love to criticize, but, you know, he's the one, John, you know, fishing people out of the water after Hurricane Katrina, you know.
Yeah, but he lacks the credibility of a Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, or a Ted Nugent, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Damn. Why don't I ever get these invitations? Greta Van Susteren has invited Lindsay Lohan to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. What?
That's the caliber of what Fox News thinks is appropriate to go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
She said, I love comebacks. I'd like to see her succeed. She brought Kim Kardashian to the dinner last year.
Oh, my. It's almost like Scientologists are into celebrities. I don't know.
John Fugelsang, new daddy. Gawker has a story for you. Let's all rage over ridiculously expensive designer baby clothing. We have previously discussed the fact that there's little more unsettling than encountering a baby who is better dressed than you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not sure how you're dressing, Henry Jack, but the New York Times looks at the rise of designer children's lines, more designers than ever making expensive clothes for babies whose parents want them to look like tiny middle-aged real estate tycoons.
so your growing infant can wear it twice before you're done with it.
Yes, exactly.
You got to find new ways to say screw you, third world, all the time when you're the American 1%.
Right. Gawker says, we don't need to explain why spending $1,200 on a Lanvin dress for your five-year-old or $132 on a True Religion cargo pants for your trillion-year-old boy is dumb. Either you know why, or you're a millionaire who sends your personal shopper out in a helicopter to pick up a new $200 Versace dress for your toddler every couple of weeks as she grows out of her old one. New York Times, they had fashion experts check out the new $375 Gucci baby dress. I don't know if you... Now I know. I don't know if I've...
Wow.
I don't know if I've been to your registry yet, but that's what I'm getting for him.
We are Rome with better plumbing. I haven't read that article, but I plan on it after I have a nap sometime in 2016.
Speaking of my babies, here's what I need to get. Dog TV.
What?
Dog TV is going to be the first cable network to deliver 24-hour programming for dogs.
Oh, wow.
No. Wow. Did I say Rome?
Max and Fred are watching Mommy and Kurt right now. Hi, Anthem, ma'am.
Oh, my God.
The shows on Dog TV are going to be 3 to 6 minute segments featuring grassy fields, bouncing balls, and humans rubbing dog tummies.
Okay. So third world children need to dream of being reincarnated as an American pet.
Exactly.
It's going to be put on cable systems nationwide by the end of the year, so now you need to ask for Current and for Dog TV.
Please ask for Current first.
Yes. My dogs are just relieved to be done with Seriously Sinatra for a minute. Rod in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Rod.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I really love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to say, first of all, I wanted to be the official extreme liberal for your station.
Okay, then.
Okay. I got a question in regards to a couple of days ago they came out with on Obama's inauguration that the Republicans were plotting right off the bat his demise. And I wanted to know, why wasn't that considered, or shouldn't that be considered as treason?
Yeah, that's the second time this week we've heard the T word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, treasonous. It's treasony with treason
berries. Because Fox News teaches you that compromise is appeasement.
Yeah, there you go.
Bye.
SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. JohnFugelsang.com, the Fugelsangian one. Thank you, John Fugelsang.
Thank you, Stephanie Mooks.
See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.